going to like this class. It is the fifth Ikar. We're going back because we only have one session left till the end of this man. So I just want to do this in one session. I usually do this in two sessions, but I'm going to try and concertina it a little bit. The Rambam says in number 5, after he's gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, talking about how we understand God and relate to God, he says, so how do you speak to God? There is a Torah mitzvah, the Rambam understands, to communicate, to serve God through prayer. Okay? When it says, va'avadatem, when you'll serve God, b'chol levavchem, with all your heart. What is service in the heart? The rabbis say in the Gemara, this is prayer. Okay, fine. So what does he mean when you're praying? How are you praying? So look at number 1. He said, yisod ha-chamishi, the fifth principle. For who yitzehu ta'yehu arroi la'avdo le'gadlo. It's only God that is appropriate to serve, to elevate, lefarsem, to praise, to his greatness and I don't know if this means to subordinate myself. I don't like my translation there. Okay, fine. But like the relevance of God. Never, he says, act in this way. Never serve. Never relate directly in prayer to anything which is lower in the sort of the chain of being. Min ha-malachim, whether it's angels. Like kochavim or stars, like galgalim or planets, vayisodot or any material thing, v'chol mashehurkav mehem or anything which is comprised of any of these things, you may not connect with them in prayer. Lefi shehem kulam mut ba'im, they are all fixed, like teva, they are all part of the system. Alpu loisehem, they act in a certain fixed way. Ve'ein shilton lahem, they don't have any power. V'lo b'chira, they can't help you, they don't have any choice. Only what God gives them. So there's no point going to them. They can't do anything for you. It's like going to the kind of middle management at Target and complaining. They can't do anything. There's nothing they can do. You're wasting your time. You have to speak to the manager or someone higher because they just don't have the authority to do anything. I was once even in America. America is a very hierarchical society. You may work that one out. But like, I was once in the airport and I was about to miss my connection. And I went, I was in immigration. It takes a long time to get through immigration if you're not American. And I went to a little bit in front of the queue in the line and asked the people, do you mind if I go in front of you because I'm going to miss my connection? They said, no, it's fine. They were very nice. And I asked the guy at the front of the queue, do you mind if I go at the front because I'm going to miss my connection? Soldiers started running out of the, I'm not joking you, from unseen places saying, sir, desist, sir, desist. Like, and he said, this man has no authority to permit that. I just want to go, like, no, he has no authority to do that. You cannot ask the guy who is in charge of the queue. He doesn't have, I mean, what else is he there to do? I don't know, but whatever. Fine. So don't bother asking the stars or the planets or anyone like that. The aim last so some time, never make them intermediaries, bishvil hagia elav, in order to get to God. He's obviously getting at Christianity here. You know, you get to the Father through the Son. Ella, rather, elav yitale yichavnu hamachshavot. You have to put all focus, all thoughts on God. Ve'yunach mashezulato, and leave everything else aside. Ve'zeh yisod ha-chamishi, this is the fifth principle. Hu azhara al avodah zara, and this is the principle which warns against avodah zara, idolatry. V'roiv ha-Torah mezaheret aleha. Most of the Torah is coming to warn you against this. This is actually a very important comment. The Rambam's understanding is that most of the mitzvahs are there to prevent people from making the fundamental mistake of relating to middle management rather than relating to God. Because the Rambam understands that that God runs the world through systems. That's perfectly reasonable. When you drop a pen on the floor, God doesn't push the pen to the floor. There's a system. It's called gravity. There are malachim. Malachim are there to do God's work. A malach is like a rule of nature or a function or something. When the malachim come down and say, we're there to destroy Sodom, they're doing what they're controlled, what they're made to do. They're doing what they're programmed to do. Okay, one second. They don't have any choice in that. So you might make the mistake of thinking, well, they're the people I need to speak to in order to achieve anything because they're my immediate supervisor. They're the line managers, you know? No, big mistake. Even though everything comes down through systems, you Jews go straight to the top. They never speak to the middle management. They only go to the head guy and they speak to the head because that's the, and Avodah Zarah is this temptation constantly to go to other things. And people feel that, you know, I want to put a mezuzah on the door. I feel that I want to protect the room. If I don't have a mezuzah on the door, I don't feel that the room is protected. The Rambam's going to say, okay, that sounds like a avodah zara. You think the mezuzah protects the room? The mezuzah doesn't protect the room. The mezuzah is a mitzvah. Inside the mezuzah are written things of incredible depth and importance. The mitzvah to serve God with all your heart, to pray to God, to be part of, to understand reward and punishment. If you look at that mezuzah as you walk through the door, then you think to yourself, gosh, I'm in a relationship with God, and this mezuzah is reminding me of this, etc. That protects the room. Your connection with God. Remember Hashkaka Protis? The broader your connection with God, the broader God's connection with you, the mezuzah is there to get that in your head. But if you think the mezuzah protects the room, and the Rambam actually says, you know, at one point people write like names of angels and amulet kind of things on mezuzahs, that's a terrible, terrible error. The mezuzah doesn't protect anything. The mitzvah protects, if you have kavana. Yes, Shoshana.
How can we justify, like, davening to, or, like, I don't know, going to your refuge, like, going to
your refuge. Okay, good. So we're going to see that right now. We're going to see that as we go through the Shia. How do we justify? And the fact is that a lot of Jewish people over the ages have simply not agreed with the Rambam on this. Just the way that Jewish people configure their lives, they clearly are not as purist on this issue as the Rambam. Because when you do go to Kfarim, the question is, what do you say when you go to the Kever? Do you ask the dead people to help you? A lot of people do ask the dead people to help.
What is that?
The Rambam will say, I don't know if you'll say that's a avodah zara, because you don't think that the dead people can really do that. You're asking them to daven to God. You're really asking the dead to daven to God. You're right. If you ask dead people to help you, then that's straightforward avodah zara. If you say to the dead people, daven, intercede on our behalf, Mama Rachel, cry for us again. You're not asking Mama Rachel, Rachel Imenu, to help you. You're asking Mama Rachel to say, our tears aren't good enough, your tears will get through. Now we'll see that not everybody's happy with that either. I don't think that's a avodah zara. The Rambam would just probably think that's just like wrong, or maybe Dorish al Amesim. We'll see, asking dead people to do stuff for us is problematic. But having said that, people, every Leviah you go to, pretty much every Leviah you go to a Leviah, they say, you know, intercede for us in the heavens, you know, Grandpa Eric, or whatever it is. You know, and they say that. Okay, maybe you'll say, okay, the people say that they're not necessarily right. But Klal Yisrael isn't as pure as a Rambam on this issue. And we'll see the Gemara itself doesn't seem to be as purist on this issue. Let's have a look right now. The Rambam says, anyone who uses an intermediary to reach God through prayer is a heretic. Number two, Chamisha Hem Nikraim Minim. There are five types of Minim. Minim is a certain kind of heretic. V'chena Ovid Kochav, someone who worships or serves a star. Or mazal, or serves the mazal. The Rambam understands that mazal is serves on the way down. But if you make it on the way up, v'zulotze, if you approach a mazal, serve a mazal, or anything like that, kedei lehiyot meilitz, so that they'll just be an intermediary. Beinu or bein ribon alamim, then you're a heretic. Actually, the Rambam maybe say that you are a heretic. It is maybe a avodah zarah if you ask the dead to daven on your behalf. It said, if you ask them to be a meilitz, to be an intermediary to reach God, he's not happy with that. Yeah.
Aren't you going to Kfarim, say to Hashem in their merit?
Yes. We're going to say, when you go to Kfarim, the thing you should be saying is either, God, do this in the merit of my grandparents. These are my grandparents. Not for me, do it for them. Right. Or you're saying, these people's lives inspire me. I daven better when I'm standing at a kever because I think of how amazing this person was. Either a direct relative who inspired you or a figure from history who inspired you. And therefore that's what you get out of it. So 100%. Everyone agrees that going to Kfarim can be positive. Having said that, by the way, the Vilna Gaon was very particular never to go to Kfarim at all. He just felt it was not something the Jewish people do. He went to bury his dead when he needed to bury them, and that was that. He never went back. He's not a Kohen or anything. He just said, graveyards make you Tammy.
I don't know her.
You don't know Tammy. A cemetery makes you Tammy. It's a place of Tumah. It's a place that's not a place of Kedusha, and you do your mitzvah and you're gone. But that was the Vilna Gaon. And therefore, you know, but again, that's not the minhag of Klal Yisrael. The minhag of Klal Yisrael, people go to Kfarim. But you're right, what they should be doing at Kfarim is not davening to the dead people, or even asking the dead people to daven for them, which sounds also very sketchy, but they should be davening in the merit of the person, or davening because they're inspired by the life of the person. Okay, that's clearly what you should do when you go to a Kedah. And the Rambam will be fine with that as well. Let's carry on with the Rambam number 3. Ikar hatzivui ba'avodas kachavim. What is the main prohibition of Avodah Zorah? Shelo la'avod echad mikol habrui. Not to ever serve anything of the created world. Loi malach, not an angel. Loi galgal, not a planet. Loi kochav, not a star. Loi echad me'arba yesodas, not any of the four types of material life. Loi echad mikol habrui mehem, or anything that's made from them. The afal pi, even though sheha oved yodeh sheha Hashem hu elokim, even though you know I don't have a messed up understanding of God, I have a very clear understanding of God. Remember, the Rambam said there's two kinds of avodah zarah. One kind of avodah zarah is where you daven to God, but you have a completely messed up understanding of God. You think God is a physical being. That's terrible, he says. This is not that. This is where a person really gets what God is, but they think, who am I? Who am I to Hadar? Are you with us? It's okay. Who am I to daven to God directly? But who are they? Anivra, and he worships this created thing as a aderek she'avad enosh, just like enosh. Now he gives you a little bit of historical context. Who was enosh? Enosh.
Nothing.
Enosh. Enosh is the grandson of Adam Arishon. I think he's the son of Shet, okay? The Anshe Dora and the people in his generation, they are the people who had originally started doing Avodah Zorah. He picks up from, Chazal picked this up from a hint in the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says, in the days of Enosh, they began to cry out to God. So it says, what does it mean? They began to cry out in the wrong way, and they thought to themselves, well, you know, they were doing it for the right reasons. God created these great things, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains. Obviously, they are greater than us. We're going to use those things that God made to get to God. Okay? And the Torah is constantly telling us not to do this. Ba'amrin, it says, maybe you'll lift up your eyes, Hashemayma, to the heavens, and you'll see the sun and the moon, and he's left them there for the other nations, not for you. Now, the question is, what the other nations are allowed to do Avodah Zorah? They're not allowed to do Avodah Zorah either. But maybe they're allowed to do Shituf. And that's a big debate. What's Shituf? Shituf is where you go, you daven to God through something else. Now, we're not allowed to do that. But maybe non-Jews are, and that's a debate. The Rambam holds they're also not. So that leads you to an interesting debate about Christianity. Islam is monotheistic. Everyone agrees with that. They go straight to Allah, and Allah is just their name for Elohim. Okay, fine. Christianity, depending on what kind of Christianity you're talking about, Trinitarian Christianity, which believes in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, and again, you can debate exactly how they're getting from which to which, but if they're going through the Son to get to the Father because they don't feel they can go directly, so that would be a Avodah Zarah for a Jew, but that might not be a Avodah Zarah for a non-Jew. And that makes a big difference as to whether Christianity really is a Avodah Zarah. According to the Rabbam, it's clearly a Avodah Zarah. According to some of the other Mephoshim, it's not necessarily a Avodah Zarah. Now, you can't do it, and you can't go into a church either. Going into churches are problematic, and I'm not getting into a whole shir on that. Most Mephoshim say you can't go into churches. There are some that are more makel for certain reasons, but I'm not getting into that now. The Rambam for sure would not hold that, because he held that churches are clearly a place of Avodah Zarah. So that's what's going on there. He warns you, just be careful that your heart is not enticed. Don't even think in your mind for them to just be an intermediate. Now, having said all of that, that you can't think in any way that the malachim are taking your prayers to God, it sounds from the Gemara that they are. And we have a problem. What do we do with the Rambam when he says something that is so kind of stark, so purist in a sense, it doesn't even sound like the Gemara agrees with him. And again, it's not the Gemara's job to agree with the Rambam. He should be agreeing with the Gemara. We're going to have to... Oh, we often ask this question on the Rambam. In this in particular, have a look at these couple of halakhas. Number 4. Do you want to put it away? It's no, too much. It's too much. It's too much Yetzirah.
No, it's fine.
I know. Yeah, it's like too much Yetzirah.
It's over there.
Put it down there. It. Yeah, that's better. In a bag. Bags good. That's what bags were made for. Okay. Number four says the Gemara. V'hama Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say? La'olam ad nishal ad nisracha b'loshan Arami. You should never daven for what you need in Aramaic. One second. The Amar Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan says, "Kol ha'shoyel tzrachav b'loshon arami." If you daven in Aramaic, source number four. What's the matter?
I just want a copy.
Oh yeah, for sure you should have a copy.
Sorry, I came in late. I was davening.
Okay, no, davening's good. As long as it's not in Aramaic. If you daven for what you need in Aramaic, the angels don't pay any attention to you. Wait. Says the Gemara,
because the Malachim, says the Gemara, don't know any Aramaic.
So the Gemara says, in this particular case where it says if you're davening for a sick person, in front of the sick person, you're allowed to daven in any language, including Aramaic. So the Gemara is asking, what? You could daven in Aramaic? Didn't we say you can't daven in Aramaic because the Malachim don't listen to her? So the Gemara says, Shani Chole, it's different in front of a sick person, the Shechina Imo, because the Shechina is there. Meaning, we're talking about a very sick person. The Shechina is, in sense, like there to comfort them, around them. So when you're davening in the presence of a very sick person, so then you're not relying on the angels. The Shechina, on some level, the presence of God, the emanated presence of God is right there. Now, that's which is beautiful. But according to the Rambam, what does it mean that the Aramaic, that the angels don't understand Aramaic? Who needs the angels? I'm not davening through the angels. I'm not asking the angels to help me. It sounds from this Gemara that the angels have an important role in transferring tefillahs from us to God. Now, as to whether this is English as well, there are different approaches to this. Let's go with the view that it's just Aramaic. There's an issue with Aramaic. And it's not that the angels don't understand it because they never signed up for Duolingo Aramaic, you know. And, you know, there's a mystical reason why angels don't go with Aramaic. It's not that they don't understand it. It's that they find it like almost like repulsive. There's too grey about Aramaic. I listened to a whole shir on it once in Kabbalah by Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld, where he talked about the fact that Aramaic is this kind of very kind of grey area human language, and the Malachim find this like completely offensive to their sense of black and white. Malachim are very black and white. They're like binary. They're either one or zero. There's no grey areas for the Malach, you know? And therefore the Malachim have to be involved, but they don't do Aramaic. Okay, fine. What's the Rambam going to do with that? We'll see in a minute. Rashi has no problem with the Malachim being there as your messengers. Look at Rashi in the top of page 2. The Shechina Imo, when the Shechina is there with that person who's sick, the Eina Mitpalel Tzareshiz Dakakula Malchei Hashareis. The Davener doesn't need the angels then. Lahachnis Tfilato Lifnim Min HaParagod. To bring his tefillah inside the Paragod. What's the Paragod? The Paragod is the curtain. Like you need the Malachim normally to pull your tefillahs up to the places they need to go. And if you speak in Aramaic, it's not happening. So that's a Gemara that sounds difficult to swing with the Rambam. Number 6 says the Gemara. It says the Gemara here. It talks about what is tefillah. And tefillah is hatzibur, the tefillah of the congregation. Tefillah rachamehi. The tefillah is meant to be asking for rachamim. But kol heichid the boy matzli. So you can pray any way you want, because you know God can give you rachamim anyway. But tefillah b'koloshen, can you really daven in any language? Meaning God understands all languages, so you can daven in any language. No, surely you can't daven in any language. The Ha'amar of Yehuda brings the same idea. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say, La'olam al yishal adn tzrachah b'loshen aramis? You should never daven in Aramaic. The Amar of Yochanan, kol ha'shoyel tzrachah b'loshen aramis, ein malchei ha'sharis nizkakim loy. Same idea, the Malachim won't take your tefillahs up, they're not listening. If you she'ein malchei ha'sharis makirim b'loshen arami. Here the Gemara says, loy kasha, no, it's different. Ha'beyachit ha'betzibur. With an individual, you need the Malachim. So you shouldn't be davening in Aramaic. With the tzibur, the community, they don't need no malachim. The power of the tzibur goes straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the tzibur can daven in Aramaic. It's actually very interesting. Do we do any tefillahs in Aramaic?
Yes, Kaddish.
So Kaddish is not a tefillah. Kaddish is a praise of God. You're not asking for anything in Kaddish. You're doing a public Kiddush Hashem. In Kaddish, basically, you're saying, everybody get together and praise God. Praise the Lord. Yeah?
Very Christian.
Well, they got it from us, didn't they? Okay, praise the Lord. That's hallelujah is our stuff, you know? That they take it from us.
Isn't part of Shema in Aramaic?
What's that?
Isn't part of Shema in Aramaic?
No, part of Shema is in Aramaic.
Can you give us some
intro, maybe? On Shabbos morning, there is a tefillah in Aramaic.
What's up?
No.
I'm just taking guesses. Zuka ni Zimra?
Nope. It's all in Hebrew. Pasuk Zimra is all Tehillim.
I'm just giving you random things that I say on Shabbos.
After we read the Torah, there's a tefillah, if you're listening carefully, which goes, Yukum Prukan Min Shamaya. Yukum Prukan Min Shamaya. There's a couple of tefillahs in Aramaic. And the question is, what are they doing there? The answer is, they're only said by the Tzibur. They're never said by individuals. If you're an individual davening, you don't daven them, because the individuals don't daven in Aramaic. And you don't find any individual tefillahs, really, in Aramaic. Now, again, why does the community daven in Aramaic? Says Rashi, number 7, Yachid, an individual can't. Sarish sheyisayuhu. He needs help. He needs help from Malachi Asharis, from the Malachim. Tzibur lights your kilahu, but the Tzibur doesn't need that help. So if you were to ask Rashi, do we ever ask the angels to take our tefillahs up to Shemayim? Rashi would say, of course we do. And that's why we don't do it in Aramaic, unless we're with an ill person, or unless we're with a tzibur. The Rambam would say, absolutely not. What does the Rambam do with these Gemaras? So the Rambam has a number of options. In fact, the Rambam even addresses this in his letter about astrology. He writes a very harif letter about how much nonsense astrology is. Nonsense. And we don't follow astrology. Astronomy, he says, yes. But astrology, no. And then the Rambam himself addresses at the end of that letter, so what do I do with all the Gemaras where they seem to take astrology seriously? Remember we talked about Rabbi Akiva's daughter? They made a prediction Rabbi Akiva's daughter was going to die on her wedding day. And Rabbi Akiva took it really seriously. He was worried about it. Why did he not say, astrology, nonsense. What's that?
Did she die?
In the end, she did not die. What happened?
She
right, she in the night time when she went to bed at night, it was all dark on her wedding night, she took out her brooch in her head and stuck it in the wall. In the morning she looked and there was a snake. She put it through the eye of the snake. And Rabbi Kiva said, like, what happened? I was so worried all night you were going to die. And she says, I don't know. She goes, you must have done something. And she said, what did she do? She'd taken some food at the wedding and taken it out to a poor person who was, you know, hungry. And she'd taken the trouble at her own wedding to help someone with chesed. Said Rabbi Kiva, oh, the chesed saved you. Meaning you really were going to die. The astrologer was correct. You were meant to die on your wedding. But your enormous merit saved you self-fight. So again, the Rambam would have said, like, astrology, shmology. We're not listening to that. Lahefech, if the Rambam says, if you listen to an astrologer and change your schedule based on astrology, you are breaking a Torah mitzvah.
Wow.
Because the Torah tells you not to be stupid. It is, he says.
Who Hoskins likes this?
You can find it online. I can send it to you as well. So what does the Rambam do with these opinions that they seem to hold like it? So he says, and if you tell me there are opinions in the Gemara that don't seem to say what I say, so he says, I'll tell you the following. We don't Hoskins like those opinions. Meaning, do I have to separate you two? Probably. I really will.
Rabbi Fisher tried to.
I really will. Next time you're going to come and sit over here, okay?
There's no next week.
Next time, like in 2 minutes when you do this again.
What do we have now?
Maybe it's just as well, yeah. No, it's the Rambam. So look, we don't pass you like every opinion. Maybe we don't follow that in halacha. He says, or maybe you're reading it too simplistically. Maybe the rabbi didn't mean like that he really believed it. Maybe he's talking about something much deeper, and you got the wrong end of the, you know, what the Gemara was saying. He says, or maybe that rabbi was wrong, which is actually quite controversial, and saying like, you know, maybe that rabbi just believed in astrology and he was wrong. You shouldn't believe in astrology. The Rambam was very confident of his opinions. Okay? But it seems like there were Gemaras that go like him. He said, okay, you know something? We don't follow that opinion. Not every Gemara has to go like him. Fine. Would he have called Rashi a heretic? That's an interesting question. Would he have said that, like, oh, you think the Malachim, you know, take out tefillahs, you daven to the Malachim? It doesn't say Rashi daven to the Malachim. It says Rashi's saying the Malachim have an effect. Maybe Rashi would agree that you can't daven to the Malachim. However, there are occasions when it does feel like we do daven to the Malachim. And I brought you two here. Number 8. This is, of course, what we say on Friday night. Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Ashores, Malachei Elyon. I don't, there shouldn't be a question mark. I don't know why that's there. That's my computer gone wrong. Okay. So who are you saying Shalom Aleichem to? So the Gemara says when you come home on Friday night and the table is set and the food is cooking and everybody's ready to bring in Shabbos. So there are Malachim. There's a Malach that comes and says like Amen. It should be like this every week. And the other Malach that's the bad guy says you're right. Okay, it should all be good, etc. There are Malachim of Shabbos. So you welcome the Malachim of Shabbos and then you say Boachem L'Shalom. Don't be shy. You know, come in, we want the Malachim of Shabbos, a different spiritual vibe of Shabbos. And then you say, Barchuli L'Shalom. Give me a bracha for Shalom, Malachei HaShares, Malachei Elyon. And there are people that won't say that line. Whoa. They'll say, look, I'll say hello to the angels, I'll ask them to come in, and at the end you say, Tseischem L'Shalom. I know people who don't like saying that, that's just amoratsis, because you think that they're saying goodbye to the angels. They're saying goodbye to the weekday angels. The Shabbos angels come in first, and the weekday angels leave afterwards. Yeah, v'shiftechem. I think that's just a mistake. I think they think that seitzchem l'shalom. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know. Maybe v'shiftechem, like when you come back, v'shiftechem sit, remain. I don't know. I don't know why they put another one in before that. Do they say Tseischem, although they don't say Tseischem? I don't know why they say B'shiftechem. It's a recent thing, I've seen it recently. But I know people who don't say Baruchuni. And every now and then I've been caught out and I've said to them, do you want a sheet?
I
want
another sheet.
Who's sitting on the sheet? I've said to these people, oh, you missed one out. And then I suddenly realise, I go, oh, you're one of them. You're one of them. You're one of them that don't want to say that. Now, what's the defence of the people who do say it? So if they say, well, you know, we're not as stark as the Rambam on this issue, we do ask for a bracha from Malachim, or they'll say, no. It says in the Gemara that when the Malachim come and your Shabbos table is set, God makes the Malachim give you a bracha. So you're not saying to the Malachim, please give me a bracha because, you know, you have the power to give bracha or not. You're saying to the Malachim, do what you're meant to do. It's not a request. It's a demand. Okay, bracha, please. Yeah? Meaning God gives brachas. God has told you that you're the conduit. Yes, Malachim are the conduit of brachas. Everyone agrees with that. Brachas don't come directly. They come through systems. Okay? Through money. Through success. So you're saying to the Malach, do your thing. Okay? Maybe. Yeah.
Is it the same when you ask for a bracha from a very good person?
Oh, so good. So there's a long tshuva of Rav Moshe at the back. Rav Moshe Feinstein, where he says, asking for a bracha from a person is less problematic because no one's going to confuse a person with God. Meaning a malach is like a spiritual entity. There might be a blurry line between a malach, I ask the malach, I ask God. Whereas a tzaddik, nobody thinks for a second that a tzaddik is God. You could argue that. What about Shabtai Tzvi?
Well, wasn't he perceived as like...
He was perceived as the Mashiach. He wasn't perceived as God. No one thought he was God.
I know, but people did what he said because...
Okay, let's leave Shabtai Tzvi out of it. Shabtai Tzvi was a false messiah. There's been any number of great and not so great people who everyone's followed.
But he's the most followed, no?
Again, that's a long conversation as to like, yeah, exactly. Jesus, yeah, but Jesus was not popular with the Jews. The Jews were not interested in him at all. But the Jews were interested in Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi came after a Holocaust reality where the Jewish people were desperate, desperate for something that will get them out of the disaster of Tachvatat. They'd been slaughtered in enormous numbers. And they were just looking for some way of escaping from the reality of the lives that they were in. And Shabtai Tzvi came along. Not really him, it was his right-hand man. He was Natan Ha'azati, who was able to spin. He was the great Kabbalist, and he was able to spin it.
Didn't have Eliyahu popularity.
Right, because every Mashiach needs an Eliyahu Anavi to spread it. But again, no one thought Shabtai Tzvi was God. Although I must tell you that whenever you have these false messiahs, the next step that people go nuts and loopy is they actually say that, oh, they're really God. Oh, they didn't really die, they're really part of God. and they're really, we asked them, and that can happen. There was a, like the sticky moment where we thought that might be happening a little bit with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. There was a group shortly after he died that started getting into the kind of, he's really God, and we really, but that got kind of pushed aside, even by the people who said Lubavitcher Rebbe is going to come back as he's Mashiach. Okay, maybe. I'm not saying that's right, I'm not saying that's wrong. It's certainly not Avodah Zorah, but the people who were saying, oh, he's now God, they're, I think they've been pushed away. I've not heard anything from them for at least at about 12, 13 years. Yeah?
Is there such a concept where if you like leave to a Tzaddik or a Rebbe and you're just like always with him, that you... It's like, the more you cleave to him, the more you cleave to God.
Yes, for sure. Because the tzaddik, in Kabbalistic thought and in Hasidic thought, is the conduit through which all the bracha comes. Because the tzaddik is yesod. Okay? Tzaddik yesod olam. That in the sfirot, as they're arranged, okay, if you have the arrangement of the sfirot, okay, where you have the sfirot coming down here, okay, like this. Yeah, we'll have that going like this as well. And Netzach and Hod, okay, and Yisod and Malchut, okay, so you've got the, okay, it's okay, don't worry about it, we're in control, a little slipping around, it's all part of the soft shoe shuffle, okay? So in the process of the Sfirot, as everything kind of comes down, this connection here, that's Yisod and Malchut, the Tzaddik is this point here. So really everything is focused through the Tzaddik, so you connect yourself to the Tzaddik and you become part of that downflow of Bracha. Okay, so they're recognizing that the tzaddik is going to actually get them connected to the system in a way they can't do on their own. They're not davening to the tzaddik. They don't daven to the tzaddik. They connect themselves to the tzaddik so that they can be part of this downflow of brocha that comes through the tzaddik. Okay, and that's where the Rebbe comes in, etc. But they're not. They shouldn't be davening to the tzaddik, and I don't think they're davening to the tzaddik to ask for a brocha. So they're asking for a brocha that the tzaddik should daven for them because the tzaddik is so much more connected. And that for sure is mainstream, absolutely mainstream. But you've got this issue of Baruchuni L'Sholem. Some people don't say it, most people do. I say it, I think it's, you know, whatever. I don't know if the Rambam, I mean the Rambam never said this. I don't think Shalom Aleichem was, they sang it at the time of the Rambam. But he certainly, I don't think he mentions it. There's also a tefillah called, oh by the way, that is one of the reasons I put it here, that people say after, and I do say this, after saying Shalom Aleichem, they say the psukim ki melachim yisav elach l'shmarach b'chol d'rachecha Hashem yishmar seis v'vorecha m'yatsav yad olam. Have you seen the people say that after Shalom Aleichem? Because that, those psukim say that God sends the melachim to do what God wants them to do. And God protects you. So maybe that those psukim are there in case you've got the idea for a second that the malachim were able to help you on their own, independently. You say these psukim to say, no, of course not. But then there's Machnisei Rachamim. In number 9, Machnisei Rachamim, do you know where this tefillah is from? Machnisei Rachamim.
Slichot.
From Slichot. In Slichot, towards the end of Slichot, there is a tefillah that says basically, Machnisei Rachamim, you're davening to, or you're speaking to the malachim, those of you who are bringing in for mercy, hachnisu rachameinu, bring in our mercy, our pleas for mercy, lifnei bal harachamim, in front of the Lord of all mercy. Mashmi'i tefillah, those who hear tefillah, ayid malachim, hashmiu tefillah seinu, cause our tefillah to be heard, lifnei shomea tefillah, before the one who hears our tefillah. So you're directly telling the angels, or asking the angels, to push up the chain, whatever you're asking for, rachamim, tefillah, tza'aka, tears, etc. Take those who collect the tears, collect all the tears, bring in all those tears before Hashem. So there are many people who don't say machnisei rachamim, because they say, okay, boachem l'shalom, baruchuni l'shalom, you can kind of, this is just a direct request to the malachim to bring our prayers before God. And this is problematic to the degree that actually quite a lot of people do not say it. Or I think it was the Chasam Sofer who said, or someone around about that time, about 200 years ago, who said, if you just change one letter, you'll make it hashkafically less problematic. Which is not, instead of saying machnisei rachamim, hachnisu rachameinu, which means it's a request, bring in our rachamim, you just say Yachnisu Rachaminu. What's the difference between, this is where you have to come to MRC to know grammar.
He will.
Yes, or they will. Hach Nisu is a sivui,
bring in, whereas Yach Nisu is just a statement. They will bring in.
It's a future tense word.
Yeah, it's a future tense. Exactly. Yeah. It's a future plural. So all you're saying is, okay, that's what happens. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm just telling you how it works. The angels, they bring it, but I'm not, God forbid, speaking to the angels. So I did a little bit of research once, and I should have brought you the clips, really. But I listened to, there's a very famous musical version of Machnise Rachamim. You know it?
No.
It's really, actually I played